Hello, sir.
What do you want?
What? That was very rude.
I'm just tired of...
What does that mean?
I'm just joking around here.
People can't see your facial expressions. They couldn't see.
Yeah, I've got a face for radio. I see where you're going. You're just being rude.
You're making faces about something. I don't even know what.
Life. Parenthood. No, I'm kidding.
We did pretty good.
At?
Parenting. Being
around. Oh, we completed it, have we? Super.
No, just being in. So we just came home from New Zealand for listeners. Few days ago, so we're pretty jet lagged. So this could be a real tire fire.
It'd be a wild ride.
And I've been up since 2:30 in the morning.
Shocker.
And I have a presentation tonight, so I'll be working till 9. So that's going to go real well.
And just to set the stage, she's currently in hoodies and her pajamas.
And I have to leave really quick after this, and then come home and post this for tomorrow morning. Anywho, but I'm saying so in our trip, we actually did pretty good. We've been in close quarters, the four of us, for 3 weeks in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
We did. There wasn't any big blowouts.
I did say I was going to fly to Jamaica and annul our marriage at one point.
That's true.
But then laziness took over and I didn't bother planning that part of the trip.
Yeah, see, and I told you, don't threaten.
Boy, are you going to be surprised.
You can't follow through on. Well, tell them why. It wasn't even anything bad.
Yeah, you're a cheat at cards. You straight up were talking over the table while I was sitting there, but with Willow, about how you're going to cheat to help her to beat me because we just got to be dead. And then, of course, she's like, yeah, we do. And I'm not deaf. Like, I could hear you both.
Oh, I thought it was me doing the navigation. In 200 meters, turn right.
That wasn't what prompted me. That was definitely added to the card incident. 3 days of you doing that for sure.
Oh, I thought that was why you're annoyed with me.
No, it was because you were cheating at cards.
50 meters, your destination is on your left.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, oh, no, I mean, right. That was the part that was the...
No.
Yeah, you did a couple times.
No. You went the wrong way. And then I'm like, see, your navigation system's not working very well for you now, is it?
Yeah.
You should have had me.
No, I should have had a mute button installed on you. I should have.
Well, yes. So, what should we talk about?
You want to talk about how to abandon your children in a foreign country and not get caught?
Yeah, they are really good. We've tried this several times, and they are really good at picking up on...
They know.
Yep.
They know when we're making a break for the car.
Yep. Maya's actually gotten really good at it.
Yeah, because she wasn't for a long time.
I know.
And there were some incidents where she almost got left behind. No, it was good. I mean, it was fun. I think it was long. I think the girls were ready to get home by the time we got back. But actually, which does pose the question, I posed it to you when we were on the beach that day, and our children had abandoned us and just gone back to the...
It was cold. It's their winter. We're in New Zealand. It's going into their winter. It was not a beach day.
24 degrees. Somewhat cloudy.
Very windy.
But somewhat cloudy.
It's raining.
Our children, when we came back, were watching...
Gilmore Girls
on Netflix in a rented Airbnb in probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever had an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And the blinds were all closed and they were just on their phones and watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I asked you on the beach still stood, which was, have we completely desensitized them to the rest of the world? Like, have we almost traveled too much that it's just like, meh, whatever.
And they're not appreciating it. And my answer was maybe, possibly, because we don't slow. And I think this is good. Like, I'm just thinking, because I'm going actually right after this to talk about resilience stuff. And we don't take enough time to show appreciation and be grateful for stuff, right? And even like in my resilience.
As a general statement, you mean?
As a general statement, yeah. You know, I don't. For sure us, but I feel like as a society, we are creating these strivers and not thrivers. Right. It's actually from a book, but it's all about the resilience.
Really proud of using that, by the way.
Well, it is. We're striving. And I just feel like, well, I've been up since 2:30 striving. Right. Trying to get this article, trying to get this done, trying to get that done.
It's the hustle culture, right? It's the disease of hustle culture.
It is. And yeah. So, but I think that this relates as well. I am going to bring it back around just to the fact that, like when I look at resilience, for example, I always come back to that Okinawa woman who I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but essentially Okinawa after the World War. There's a dog at the door. So if you hear strange noises, she's wagging her tail. And
I think she's scratching her face is what that is. Well,
anyway, after the World War, when it was clear that the Japanese did not win, the Okinawans were really where they had like all the suicide bombers and stuff. Like that's where they really came out of. And so they were telling their kids, if you see an American, you need to kill yourself. Because they're going to do horrendous things to you and all of this. And this girl, I know I did tell the story, but just in case people didn't hear it. Girl, you know, she saw her family die and was given a live grenade and was told to let go of it if she saw an American. And around comes an American. And she was faced with the choice. And she had her siblings around her. But she didn't. She decided to live. And she is so grateful, right? And so when we look at trauma, you know, everyone's like, oh, trauma and all of this stuff, we miss on that opportunity to be grateful. And I think that's the same thing here with these things. We take things for granted. We take the beautiful sunset for granted. We take the beach that we only have for one day and the beach house we only have for one day, even though it's not very warm. I was curled up on a blanket on the beach because I was freezing, but we don't slow down enough to be grateful. And I think that that's a huge piece of anxiety and the hustle and taking things, for granted.
Well, and I think it just begs a bigger question of what's the point, right? Like, and I don't mean that in a, I'm at the end of my rope, what's the point kind of way, but really what are we trying to achieve, right? Like, yes, I think you need to have goals and you need to have things to strive for. But when the balance tips that all you do is strive for things, I think you lose a large component of, well, I mean, lack of a better term, happiness, right? Like, it's tough to be able to turn it off once you've turned it on. Once you get into that mindset of go, or what's the next thing, or where are we going, or what, you know, you lose the ability to appreciate where you're currently at, good or bad, right? You don't have the ability to just take it in, really.
Yeah. Well, and the opportunities to appreciate, there was something I was going to say, I think I've forgotten it. Just to tie into that, but just going to the original question, because I don't want to go too far off here, but I mean, it ties in with the resilience as well, that they don't have the opportunity to be with their emotion and to be with the situation. But the same thing here with the appreciation for traveling. I mean, I think you had the same childhood in terms of that I did, in terms of there was no traveling. It was packing up in a car. And at the time there was no
Ford Granada, cross-country
laws, so I could lay in the trunk of the car and like 3 or 4 days going across Canada to Port Coburn, Ontario, right? Like just the middle of nowhere, St. Catharines or something like that. And so when I got to go traveling, it was on my dime. So you better bet your bottom dollar, I was filling that time to the max. And I'm still like that when we go on trips. Mm-hmm. I cannot just sit in an Airbnb. I'm like, we got to go see because it's expensive. And with kids, they don't, when we're serving them everything on a silver platter, and this is where it ties in with resilience too. When they're just given everything, there's, you know, a certificate of participation and every travel trip and this, that we have created an entitled, generation. Mm-hmm. And not that they developed it out of their own sort of manipulation, or it's just that's what we inherently created.
Well, that's what they're used to. Like they don't know any different.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a definite negative aspect to that when the child is self-aware enough that they're arrogant about it. And I don't think that's what I was getting at.
No,
I don't think that's what we're talking about here, but yeah, it's almost an indifference. Right. Yeah. They're just used to it. So we go away every year. Where are we going to go? Okay, cool. Is it cool? There's cool things, but do I really care? No, because, you know, there's something else coming. Right. And I think, I mean, we're using the travel as a component of it. And I'm really blowing it out of proportion. It was like they left when it was raining. Right. It was windy and it was raining and they were on a beach and they were freezing and they're like,
and it was at the end of 3 weeks where it was go.
Totally. And that's why I didn't make a big deal of it. Right. Like I was talking to you about it more because it was an interesting conversation topic, but of those, it was funny because after we were busy and I did a lot of driving, right? Like I drove thousands of kilometers and we've done trips like that a lot in various parts of the country or the world. And that's fine because it does allow us to see countries in ways that you can't see.
Well, your trip was 40 hours of driving.
It was crazy.
And I think New Zealand was probably close to that.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. And probably harder. For those that haven't been to New Zealand, there's only one spot that we found in both islands that weren't a single lane highway both directions.
That didn't wind every 2 meters at 35 kilometers.
All three girls were ready to vomit most of the trip because it is. It's windy. But by the time we got to the Coromandel, I was ready to turn off. Not more because I needed to recharge, but also there's a component of trips that had I not sat on the beach after they left, I had a full 45 minutes to an hour to myself to just literally watch the waves and take in what is one of the most spectacular places that we've been in the world. Like it's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece. It's not that I feel that we shouldn't be trying to see as much as we can. I think it's trying to inherently build in moments, and we've talked about this in other contexts, moments of stopping, I sound like a self-help book, but being present in wherever it is, right?
And then that moment.
And it was interesting because a lot of times when I do that, I'll have music going or I'll have a book or I'll have some sort of distraction. And I made a conscious effort in the Coromandel to not do that as much. Like I still read and I still listen to music, whatever. But there were large stretches where I just sat. And I sat there with the noise all around me of the ocean and the waves and the birds and whatever else. And it was interesting because, and I think you struggle with this a lot. Like at the beginning, my mind is just going, going, and going, and going, and going, and going, and going. But over time, it's almost like the sound of the waves just beat that out of me to the point where I was just literally, I'd snap back every once in a while and have a thought, and then it would go away again. And it was nice. It was really nice. And I think that to me is more of what I want to make sure that we're trying to incorporate a bit more, right? Yeah. And it's funny because Willa made a comment on her walk last night about how she loves this house now. Mm. And when she, because the house is fine, it's not spectacular.
It's old and falling apart.
It's not falling apart, but it's older. But we've talked about this again too, we've made a conscious effort to start making improvements and put our own personalization on this place, right? And she, up until now, has always said, I wish we were in the Langdon house. I miss the Langdon house. I love the Langdon house.
She was born.
Yeah. Which she doesn't say anymore. She now, but it's one particular part, which is the library we've talked about.
And her room.
And her room.
Yeah.
Because both are quiet spaces. Maybe not her room. Her room is a bit
more. I was in there last night. It was quiet. She's got all these pillows and.
It's true. She does have some relaxing. But again, it's building out those spaces so that you can appreciate the other stuff and be able to frankly manage the other stuff. I think that to me, my own takeaway was the Coromandel. I came back feeling, I was tired by the time I got back, but I wasn't like when we left, I was stressed. I was stressed about a lot of things. And by the time we came back, I wasn't, even though we were up early, we were driving, we were this, we were that. Those final few days of just nothing. It's incredible. And I think that's a skill that I don't practice enough.
Well, and I didn't. Like, I still worked 5 or 6 hours every day. those days. So, but that is it. I mean, that's one piece of this that I think I want to make sure people hear is that mindful, present appreciation, just being, right? In whatever it is, even if you are working, but it's being with that. But for me, the other piece is also the greater appreciation when we work for it.
Yeah.
You know, like even I just think of video games, right? One of the most reinforcing things about video games, yes, there's stimulation and things that, whatever. But one of the most rewarding parts of video games for the brain and the ego, everything that we want our kids to be tapping into, that intrinsic motivation, it's that yes, when they beat the next level.
Yeah.
I did it all by myself.
Yep.
Nobody helped me. And I achieved this. And it's not even when they do achieve it. It's the anticipation that they're going to do it again. They're going to work hard and they're going to do it again. Right. Yep. And so I think that there's a piece of that too. And, and so it still comes down to appreciation and gratitude as well, but in a different sort of context. So the mindfulness, the appreciation, gratitude, all of that, just being, but then also giving our kids the opportunity to do hard things without us jumping in and helping, even giving them the opportunity to try in the first place, because we don't. Mm-hmm. And then when we do, we're jumping in. Oh, do this.
That's a hard one, yeah.
So they're never, ever feeling, yes, I look, mom, look, dad, look what I did all by myself.
Yeah.
That's huge. And they lose it somewhere along the way, probably when they're three or four, I would say. Like, I think they lose it at such a young age because they're learning so many skills then, but then we're always swooping in and like they just never have that opportunity. I think we rob it of them. And well, I always come back to that Old Enough show from Japan, from Netflix, right? Like, and I've been watching a couple more clips and the kids are like, daddy, I can't do it. It's too hard. Or the little girl's sobbing, mommy, I can't do it. And then they go and do it. It being like the one guy, little guy has to walk from daddy's work almost to, get onto a bus, go home, get his jacket and then bring it back to his work. Something like that. And he's like, I can't do it. And the little girl's like, I can't go to the fish market by myself. Like little three-year-old girl can't do it. Can't do it. Then they do it and they come back. Daddy, mommy, look at what I did. They're so like, it's that yes. Right. And so this is part of the reason, like just bring it back to, I mean, it could be everyday things where we do give them those opportunities, but even things like university, right? We're not paying for the girls' university. We're going to help here and there. I know my parents gifted me money for my birthday here and there, but there's that appreciation. I worked really hard. Look what I achieved. Look what I had done versus, well, you've experienced it yourself, but you know, when it's just paid for you and you take it for granted and it's your stuff, your money isn't on the line or your whatever isn't on the line.
Well, you're not, there's the lack of investment then, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what got me is I wasn't invested. I thought I had to go. I wasn't really interested. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did it because I thought I was placating who I needed to, and it didn't work. Right. And so, yeah, absolutely. I think it's
that's another good one. We'll have to put that in our pocket, just trying to fit everybody else's mold.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, they broke the mold with me, I think you'll agree. So, you know, you know, I lost my train of thought.
I'm
so humble. Yeah. Because you're laughing at me. It's karma. Yeah, it's gone. Jet lag took it.
Sorry.
Took and flew it away. No, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's the rotation of the earth.
So allowing them I guess those are the two pieces, right? The gratitude, but then also the working hard and the anticipation of achieving something on their own.
Perfect example is Maya, right? In her car. And it's yes, we help her with her car, right? It's not that, you know, we're not a super hard line about it, but we didn't buy it.
No.
Right. I've helped her make sure that it's roadworthy, but she paid for the most of it and recent repairs that weren't expected. She's paying us back. Right. Like, and I think that's where I was kind of going is there's a balance, right? Like I 100% agree with you that there needs to be the ownership and the investment so that it's a motivator and you get that sense of accomplishment. But there's also opportunities, I think, to, and you got to pick and choose them because it can very quickly become too much, but to figure out a way to provide support without making it a handout, if that's the way, you know what I mean? Like, and I think it applies to a lot of different
and support
situations.
The things that are important
yeah.
to them
yeah.
rather than forcing them and expecting them and then paving the way and paying the way, yeah. right? Like those are two different things as well. Totally. And even with the car, like, because like that is her investment. She loves that car and takes oh, yeah. such good care of it yeah. and, right, like spends time in it. She just loves it. Versus we see her with friends who were just given cars and they mm-hmm. drive it to the ground and smash it up and don't even care and just expect the new one yeah. right the yeah. next day, right? So.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's, and it's funny because I think, yeah, it's, as a parent, you want your kids to have a good life, or you should, and maybe not all parents, but you want them to have a good life and you want them to have things that you didn't, but I don't think it's about handing it to them. I think it's about creating the opportunity or the interest on their part. And I think that's the more important part, right? Like, I hope that we've instilled a sense of worldliness with the girls where they appreciate down the road, maybe, and I don't expect them to have an immediate appreciation for it. Like, they're teenagers, right? Like there is a level of expectation of, you know, fridge is always full, house is always warm, everything I want is kind of in that place, and we go away on a trip. Like, I get it. But later in life, my hope is that they would see what we were trying to do with that in terms of put them to places they're not comfortable, show them different things about the world, teach them things and how to manage that and in a positive way that they got to experience different things. And I think that's the core of, if the opportunity is there to get, let them do it and learn to appreciate it, be it immediate or down the road, then take it. Right. And just check in every once in a while. Are you handing too much stuff over? Right.
Yeah. And I think having them involved, you know, even with finances for stuff, I think mm-hmm. that can be a really valuable lesson, even if they're not paying for it themselves. So for example, on our trip, not going to name names, but somebody booked a flight to the wrong destination and we didn't know until we had already checked in. We're putting our bags on and one of the girls is like, I thought we were going to Wellington, not Auckland. So in a scramble, one of the girls helped me rebook a flight and it was leaving in half an hour. So we did not have much time to get it, but she was there and saw how much we lost on the other one mm-hmm. and how much more we had to pay on the new one. And she was just like, oh, mommy. Right. And yep. then she was really cautious, just like, okay, we got to be careful for dinner tonight. And I think just knowing, well, even taxes.
We were talking about the taxes last night.
Last night with Maya, and she's like, why? You have to pay how much money? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And so it's just an eye-opener. Like, I think they don't have enough worldliness in that way, just knowing how much things cost. And I do think sitting down and, like, I want to do our get back into budgeting and do have the girls involved in that yeah. so that they can see, look, there's insurance, there's utilities, there's groceries, there's the dog's meds, there's your meds, there's all of these things, right? And I think that is just really helpful just for setting them up for success.
Well, and I think it's a good time to have those conversations because, yeah, it's with Maya moving on to university, those things are going to come out pretty quick now, right? The obligation is not entirely ours. Again, we can help, but it's not on us. She's going to be an adult. She's going to have to manage it. She's going to have to learn about it. And she has, I've noticed in the past few months, taken an interest in asking questions about that, right? Like mm-hmm. Willow, I don't think cares. As long as she's got enough to go to Safeway at lunch with her friends and buy whatever Pringles-based snacks she wants to eat, then she's fine.
Although she's been talking about putting more money in her.
She savings. Has. I'm just,
she actually
just
has joking. More savings than Maya does.
Well, because Maya blew it in the car.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, I think I'm on the same page. Like, I think it's that exposure and I think it's that opportunity to understand that there's a give and take to everything, right? We chose to invest a lot of time and money and energy into travel because we see the benefits of it. But yeah, it's important for them to understand that it's not easy, right? There are families that aren't in a position to do that. And that's the sort of gratefulness and appreciation I hope that they take away with them down the road. And again, I don't expect it right now, but when they look back upon it and see you know, they have friends that have never left the city, right? They have friends that it is a big event to fly somewhere, and it's become so commonplace in a weird way for our kids. And again, this makes me sound super bougie. It's not like we are typically one step up from those trains you see in India packed with thousands of people. That's kind of our absolute baseline. But it's, again, it's the sacrifices you have to make. It's the decisions you have to make. And it's the reasons you do it is to see more of the world, more people, and just understand kind of the cost of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even meals, we only ate out at a restaurant once the whole trip. Yeah. That was our first night in. Yeah. We're starving. And at the end of the week, we ordered in a couple of things just because we were on the road every night. But that was because I was working too.
Yeah, that was your work week. And that was it, right? Like, and even they were coming back going, no, I'm good. I don't need to have breakfast. I don't need to spend that much. I've got stuff here. Like, they were figuring out that, you know, it's not necessarily, it's sure, there's some event meals and foods that you want to try, like when we're in Italy and stuff. But yeah, you don't need to go pay $35 New Zealand for a buffet breakfast at a hotel. It's not worth it.
No, exactly. Alrighty.
Time to get out of your PJs and be an adult?
I think so. There was something else.
That sounded dirty. I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like,
I have to go put on professional clothes.
Yes, you have to go leave the house and be a doctor. Present. Yeah, you got to be the doctor. Again, nope, that came out wrong. That's not what I meant. All right.
Alrighty. Good day.